Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday DFS version. I am Scott Jensen. Join with you as always on Fridays with Andrew Laird. This is championship week. Andrew, we've made it this far. It's weirdly seemed like it's gone really fast. We got to like week 14. I was like, I can't believe the season's almost done. It seemed like the first few weeks were so, we're so worried about suspension of games and who's going to play and if we were going to make it. And it kind of just like took off on a roller coaster after that. So we're at championship week. Tell you what, we have two awesome games. We have 2 3-point spreads, 2 totals over 50. It's kind of a dream for football fans, fantasy fans, DFS players, whatever it may be. I'm really looking forward to this championship weekend.
I'm just excited to see Tom Brady in another conference championship game. I don't know about you.
Has he been in any lately? It seems like it's been a long time since he's been a championship.
I saw on a distant television at the gym early this morning that this was his 14th conference championship game, and I believe the next highest ever is 8.
Yeah, if they win, it's his 10th Super Bowl, which is absurd. Absurd. There were so many years where I was like, well, Montana. And I'm like, okay, I'll just be quiet now. It's like
it's 10 really Super Bowls. Tough, yeah.
10 Super Bowls is really insane. If you did it with a different team, too, it's like even more. It's just fun games. These are great matchups.
Yeah, I try to give people hard times for being compilers. I'm on the Scott Pianowski, Jerome Bettis shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame bandwagon. And obviously Frank Gore has a special place in all of our hearts as a surefire Hall of Famer. But it's tough when you're like, well, Brady's just a compiler because he's only has 10 Super Bowl appearances.
A compiler of like the elite of the elite stats. Right. Yeah, it's impressive. And they, he didn't really do a lot against the Saints last weekend. It was the Buccaneers defense, which I think is we talked preseason. I didn't love this Bucs team because I was worried about the defense. The defense has stepped up huge. Devin White, especially rookie linebacker, is just an absolute beast. Like that dude, you throw that dude in the middle of the lineup and it just totally changed that that defense. But they've been so far and away better than I thought they'd be, and better than they were last year. Brady didn't do much last week. I think he was like 50% passing, a couple touchdowns, not a lot of yards, and
the bailout rushing touchdown.
But Drew Brees was so horrible and looked so done that it was like, you kind of just felt bad. And you know, if you're at the point where you're like, why isn't Sean Payton bringing Jameis Winston in the game? Like, it probably is time to move on. You know, Drew Brees obviously an awesome career, but he looked at the end of the rope last week.
Yeah, and we were texting about like the Jameis touchdown. Why is Taysom Hill ever a thing again?
Yeah.
Like, we were obviously very anti Sean Payton just because of the ridiculousness that he tries to bring into making our DFS lives a little tougher. But Drew Brees.
I give him credit though. That play was he took that play from the Bears the week before, and you complete that pass.
Was that the week before? Right, did I mess that up?
No. The Bears did it to them the week
before. Oh yes, yeah. Sorry.
Mims dropped the pass.
Yes.
And then he ran the exact same play, and Traquan Smith was literally so wide open. It's so funny. You look at that play, and like four guys went to Kamara. Like they have their little the next gen stats is a like cartoon drawing of it, and you see 41 go this way. You see four defenders move over. It's pretty wild how everybody's like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna throw back to Kamara. It's like, oh, Traquan Smith literally ran down the field by himself. So yeah.
And you played Traquan, right? Because you always play Traquan.
I did not, unfortunately. I love Traquan, and I missed him last week. That was not a good call. I had a lot of Emmanuel Sanders, who was actually pretty good.
Yeah, he was.
It helps when the number one receiver catches zero passes.
I was like, I ended up deciding not to play Michael Thomas, and I'm like, I really hope I don't regret this because, I mean, and not that I thought he'd have like a gigantic game, but like you could easily see like 13 catches for 85 yards and two touchdowns, and I'd just be like,
especially with them trailing, you know, whole, I guess the last like quarter and a half of the game, you know, it kind of got bad late. But if you told me they lost the game by whatever it was, 17 points, I would have been like, oh, well, Michael Thomas at least had, you know, like you said, 13 catches. But
he didn't.
Yeah, wasn't in the cards. So Tampa now travels. They go to they traveled last week. They won in New Orleans. Travels again to Green Bay. 29 degrees and cloudy in Green Bay for kickoff. So not bad. You know, there's no it's like 5% chance of precipitation. So it's not a game where, you know, 29 degrees to you and me sitting here sounds cold. But like in a football game without any weather, without any wind, like that's very manageable with all the pads on. They're running around. Obviously, they'll be cold, but not like a game where I think the weather like severely impacts what we're looking at stat wise.
Yeah, no, totally agree. And obviously throwing the football, Tom Brady has plenty of experience playing in colder games. So,
yeah. I like people like, oh, Brady's got to deal with the weather again. I'm like, well, he dealt with the weather for 108 years, so I think he's going to be fine. Green Bay is favored by 3, kind of a home field advantage kind of thing there. You know, both these games are pretty much even on a neutral field. 2-3-point spreads. Over-under this game's 51.5. You know, the Tampa defense being really good probably brings that down a little bit. Tampa implied total 24.25, Green Bay 27.25. All four of these teams are in the same range implied total-wise. It's all between 24 and 29, all four teams in there. Green Bay's number one in points per game when you take the playoffs into account and the regular season. Tampa Bay's number two. So we've got a great matchup here. Tampa Bay scored 30-plus points in 5 straight games, 24-plus points in 9 straight games. They have been really playing well. The game was a blowout in week 6, 38-10. Tampa Bay won that game. You know, that's what, 3 months ago. I'm pretty sure we can toss that out. But the fact is that Tampa really pressured Aaron Rodgers. He had he had a really bad game. His stats were terrible.
Yeah.
And he's not nearly as good this year with pressure as he is without. It's a really significant drop off. Obviously, an MVP season, he's probably going to win it. But, you know, he's pretty poor with pressure this year. You know, that probably is the key to the game right there. If Tampa can pressure him anywhere near they did in week 6, you know, it's going to be trouble for them. But I imagine they'll figure it out. No Bakhtiari at tackle, which does hurt. But I think we get a lot of back and forth. It'll be a matter of, you know, if Tampa can stop them at all. And, you know, the Rams last week couldn't. So it's going to be really interesting on that side of the ball.
Yeah, that, like, Rodgers' whole game against the Bucs, that whole game was weird. Like, wasn't there an early pick 6 or something like that? Like, very early. And speaking of like quarterbacks in this game that like struggle under pressure, you wouldn't think we'd be talking about Aaron Rodgers of the two. But I mean, it's a great matchup. I think there's a decent shot, depending on what happens with Mahomes, that Rodgers is the most popular quarterback on the slate, though.
Yeah, he's priced down a little bit. We'll get to quarterbacks in a little bit, but he's 6,500 as opposed to Mahomes 7,600. And Yeah, he's the third low. He's the third lowest, and only Brady's below him. So I could see that definitely being the case there too. Then at 3:40 in the afternoon, 6:40 your time, we have Buffalo and Kansas City. Kind of I think the matchup that all of us really wanted when the playoffs started. You know, Buffalo has been the best team in football the last 12 weeks. If you look at weighted DVOA, they are number one in the NFL. You know, weighted DVOA a little bit different. It takes the more recent games into account a little bit more. Kansas City's favored by 3, over under a 54. That puts Buffalo's implied at 25.5, Kansas City at 28.5. Weather here is not a factor either. 35 and overcast, like 2% chance precipitation. So I don't think we have any problem here. They played in week 6 also. I think it's kind of strange. But Kansas City won in Buffalo in that game, 26-17. Buffalo ran a really interesting defense. They pretty much played, you know, the beat us underneath, run the ball, don't throw the ball deep defense. A lot of people teams did against Kansas City, but didn't work well with them. Kansas City ran for 245 yards in that game, 46 carries. The Bills played two high safeties twice as often as they did in average the rest of the season. It was like 68%, 34% in the rest of the game. So they clearly changed how they played defense. 26 points to Kansas City is not bad, so you got to think they employ some of that. But you got to think they just a little bit because they can't get up 250 rush yards and win this game.
I mean, even if we knew that they were going to have 200, like, who do you think they're coming from?
Darrell Williams.
Yeah.
He looks pretty good last week, but yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is back. Probably going to be back this week. We don't know that for sure, but it sounds like he's trending that way. And it sounds to me like they probably could have used him last week, but figured they could figure it out anyway against the Browns and didn't play him. But Buffalo defense is a lot more healthy this time around than they were last time. Matt Milano and Trent Murphy didn't play in that game, so, you know, pretty big difference makers there. But Buffalo's 11-1 since that game. The only game they lost was the DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler Murray, Hail Murray play that and 8 of those wins by 10-plus points, which is, I mean, they've been dominating teams.
Yeah.
Kansas City, they said they've won 11 games in a row, which, you know, at the end of the day is all that matters is, you know, who wins the game at the end. But they haven't won a game by more than 6 since week 8. They haven't covered, I think, since like week 6 or 7. They've been weirdly winning games, but not killing teams.
And they have a beat up Patrick Mahomes if he plays. He's going to play. But
I would take the if out of that sentence because there's no way they're playing this game without him. Like, everybody's bringing that, like, 5 minutes after it happened, I'm like, oh, he's fine for next week. Like, there's no way they're not clearing him for this game. And I don't mean to joke about concussions, and it's very serious. And, you know, you could joke about the NFL caring about players or not, but, like, there's no way he's not playing the AFC Championship game, right?
Yeah, I heard Roger Goodell actually got his PhD over the week, and he's actually going to be the one to clear him. Yeah,
if need be, he'll put his signature on that for sure.
Right,
but
right.
My favorite was, you see the Colin Cowherd take?
No.
Said they should delay this game until Mahomes is ready. He's like, dude, the NFL needs him. They need to be the game. I'm like, dude, that's insane. Like, really? You want them to push the game back 6 days so, like, one guy's ready? Like, where do you draw the line on that one? So it's just an absurd
Colin
Cowherd.
No, we just force him to play.
Colin Cowherd take, trying to get people to talk, and I guess it worked because we talked about it. But
it worked.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna play. It seemed like he was okay, like a few hours after. Who knows what happened in the back room and the concussion protocol and all that. But he's practicing this week. I'm fully going to this game thinking he's like 99%.
Sure. Yep. Yeah, I agree.
You have a strong take on who wins these games before we get to the players here?
I had this thought earlier today that Tampa and Buffalo would be another Tom Brady against an AFC East opponent.
Can you imagine?
I really like Buffalo. And I think the other game is a toss-up. And because I'm so spiteful, Brady will probably win it. So Tampa-Buffalo, anyone?
I like both underdogs myself. I really like Buffalo. I picked Buffalo to go to the Super Bowl before this whole thing started. I will say that I picked New Orleans also, so I'm not bragging about how well I'm picking, but I think Buffalo's playing the best football. They have not been great. They've been great in their two playoff games, though, so I feel like they need a ceiling game, and I think it's there, but they need it. Like, if they play the way they did the first two games, I think Kansas City wins that game. If they play the way they did, like, the last 2 months, I think that their best is better than Kansas City's best right now, which is, obviously, who knows if you're going to get that, but... and a lot depends on how Josh Allen deals with the pressure. Kansas City is going to bring pressure, and they pressured him really well the first game. And I think he had a shoulder issue in the first game. I think it's going to be, they're a different team than they were in week 6, but I think it's a matter of if Buffalo can block for him, and if they can, well enough, I think they win the game.
Yeah, I think Buffalo wins any close game. I'll put it that way. Like, I don't think Buffalo blows them out.
No.
And, I mean, Kansas City hasn't put up a ton of points like we've seen them in the past recently. But, like, I think that's the way they win, is if they just blow Buffalo out. And I'm struggling to see that. And so any close game, I think, goes to the Bills.
Yeah, I think the Bills could definitely score with them. Obviously, Mahomes is going to score, too. But, you know, what's funny is that usually, like, in these games, there's, like, one matchup possibly in the Super Bowl. You're like, oh, my God, if that happens, nobody's going to want to watch that. I think all possible iterations of this matchup of the Super Bowl are great games.
Totally fun great.
Games and good storylines. And, like, there's an angle for all four possible matchups that you're like, yeah, that'd be really fun. Like, there's no game you're like, I hope this doesn't happen because it'd be really boring. So it's a really good setup. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, totally agree. It's, anybody but Tom Brady, though.
Yeah. Let's get into the DFS angle of it all. But first, a note from our sponsor, Monkey Knife Fight. With the season-long fantasy football leagues now complete, it's a great time to check out your friends at Monkey Knife Fight, the fastest-growing site in daily fantasy. The NHL and NBA are in full swing, and the NFL playoffs are in swing also. The time is now to take advantage of a 100% instant matchup to $50, up to $50 on your first credit by using the promo code WIRE, W-I-R-E. Visit MonkeyKnifeFight.com and use promo code W-I-R-E today. So running backs are wild, Andrew. We look at it, I'm like, oh, I wonder who's in the running backs. And there is, like, one running back that's, like, an elite top-level guy, and that's Aaron Jones. On DraftKings, we have one running back above 5,300. So, like, we're going to get to the point, and I played with lineups last week, you're going to pretty much be able to play who you want on the slate. Like, you can't play everybody. You can't play Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey, and two good receivers. Like, there's some point you got to pick, but with one running back over 5,300, like you can pretty much do what you want if you want to like try and get Mahomes, Kelsey, Hill in. I actually had a lineup last night that I played with that was Hill, Adams, and Stephon Diggs, so all three big receivers, and it wasn't that hard to get that in. But Jones is clearly the top guy in the slate in terms of like talent and stats and all that. He's 6,500, but going against the Bucs rush D, which we've pretty much tried to avoid all season long. How do you feel about Jones this week?
I think there's this weird thing with Jones, and it's that he's obviously the best running back on the slate. And we were saying like the prices on DraftKings at least are loose enough where you're not struggling to get a $6,500 running back in.
No,
he has by far the worst matchup.
He does.
And with so much, I think there are going to be plenty of people who try to play Rodgers and Davante Adams. So that's like, do you really want all three pieces from the Packers? I mean, you could, but like, I think people are going to end up playing Jones only because he's like the best at the position. And you're like, well, if I could get the best guy and not like kill my lineup, then I'll just play him. But like, I don't want to play him.
Do you think the running back, like if someone like logs in, you see the running back, you're like, oh my God, this is gross. Like, do you think so many people are like, I just got to play Aaron Jones because the top guy affects how many people play Adams and Rodgers?
I don't think enough. Like, I think they're still going to be like really popular, but.
Yeah, I mean, there's only four quarterbacks. So yeah, I get it. But I just wonder how many people are going to slot Jones in right away because you see he looks so obvious. And then be like, oh, I better play one of the other quarterbacks, to be different, and not have the whole Packers offense, it's Bucs defense. I'm with you. I think that Rodgers still be really popular. Obviously, only four quarterbacks, but I just wonder as people build if they just slot Jones in automatically because the other or the other three teams just don't have running backs you really want to go to. I mean, we're going to talk about them. We're going to play some of them. We're going to like some of them, but he obviously sticks out like a sore thumb in terms of like talent and stats. And we talk about the defense of the Bucs. I mean, the Rams defense is obviously really, really, really good. And he was 14 for 99 last week with a touchdown, had a 60-yard run in that mix though. Really nice 60-yard run, but had a big play that boosted those stats. He didn't do a lot with the other carries, but the Rams hadn't allowed 100 total yards to running back since week three. We talked about it last week. Tampa Bay's allowed the fewest runs of 10 plus yards in the NFL this year. Kamara did have a good game last week. He was 18 for 85, so he actually ran the ball really well. But there's no way around the fact that this Bucs D, like you said, is the best rushing defense on the slate.
I mean, fewest yards per carry allowed. Only three teams have given up more rushing touchdowns to running backs. Like, they do give up a ton of receptions to running backs, or they have. But even that, like, you're not playing Aaron Jones for seven receptions.
No.
I think he's like a great, I say this every week about Aaron Jones. Like, I think in tournaments he's great because I just never, his floor just, his floor is good for, I'll say this, his floor is good for 6,500 on DraftKings this week, but we like never get him at this price. Like he's always 75 or somewhere around there, but I don't know.
And he's not, you're not going to look up and see 24 carries. Like that's not the way they run their offense. They have Jamal Williams. They pass the ball a lot. I'm looking at his game log. He had 20 carries exactly once all year. Like,
yeah,
he's not a bell. He's a really good running back. He gets a lot of stats. He gets a lot of touchdowns, but he's not a guy that they're going to lean on for 26 carries.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's easier to say, I think everybody's going to punt at running back because there's only one over 5,300. Yeah. But I just, I think you're going to look at what happens when you pay up, you know, up for Jones. What you have to do with your wide receivers, and there are very, very good wide receivers on this slate that you're going to be like, oh, why don't I'm going to skip one of those guys so I can get Aaron Jones's 14 carries.
Yeah, you flip on running back, you're like, oh my God, there's nobody I want to play, and you flip on wide receivers, like nine guys.
Yeah, you want to play 12 wide receivers and zero running backs.
I think you're going to see a large and heavy percentage of lineups. You're going to have four wide receivers this week.
It's for sure.
Yeah, I think mean, I don't think I think if you want to be different, I think three running backs will be very different this week.
I agree. It's just or two tight ends even like I.
Yeah, there's one tight end, then everybody else is like. So let's jump into the other side of this game first. Then we mentioned, you know, we keep saying one running back over 5,300. Leonard Fournette is exactly 5,300. Ronald Jones is 4,600. Both played well last week. Jones was 13 for 62. He only played 21 snaps coming back off the injury. Fournette played 49 snaps to Rojo's 21. Fournette was 17 for 63 and had five catches, 44 yards, and a touchdown. Back-to-back really good games in the playoffs, and New Orleans is a tough D. Like, that was an impressive game. We make fun of Fournette a little bit. He's, you know, obviously been a bust where he got drafted and had some issues, but played really well the last couple weeks. A much better matchup. Green Bay's allowing 4.5 yards per carry as opposed to New Orleans, is really tough against the run. Cam Akers was 18 for 90, and again, they lost for a touchdown last week. So, you know, had some running room there. And the nice thing with Fournette, you know, is that if they do get behind, say, you know, they start, you know, Rodgers scores early and they kind of start rolling on offense, he's going to be very involved in the passing game if they do fall behind, which is a nice thing. He's not quite as game script dependent as Jones is, but Jones is really good. Jones runs the ball really well. If they get up, they're going to use Jones. There's the difference in price is so small. It's 5,300 to 4,600. I'd probably lean towards Fournette just because of the usage last week. But, you know, I can see playing either one of these guys depending on how you think the game goes.
Yeah, I think obviously one of them, if one of them was out, the other would be such an easy play.
For sure.
Like, we'd pay them 6,500 probably. Like, I'd probably play one of them over Jones. I think most people go with Fournette just because of the recent usage. But you have to play him knowing it's very possible that you get a 50-50 split. He's obviously been much more relevant in the passing game, which helps just because it keeps him on the field a little more. But it makes Jones a great tournament play. Play the both non-brothers Jones because no one else is. But like, it's... From a fantasy point perspective, like Fournette is the best matchup of any other running back on the slate. So other than Ronald Jones, because he's his teammate. So, yeah, I think enough people could play Fournette because after him, it just like, if you think there are question marks about Fournette, wait till you keep going.
Yeah. So the other side, the AFC game, we have Clyde Edwards-Helaire maybe coming back from the injury. We think he's going to play. They sat him last week. He partially practiced the last 2 days. And then we have Devin Singletary on this side, who played a lot of snaps last week but didn't do much, didn't touch the ball a lot. They ran the ball once in the first half, at least a called running play. Like, Allen had some scrambles and all that, but they called one running play in the first half last week against Baltimore. So they want the ball in Josh Allen's hands, whether it's running the ball, whether it's passing the ball. They're not going to hand the ball off to Singletary a ton. He had 10 total touches last week for 37 yards, did have 83% of the backfield touches. So if a running back gets the ball, it's going to be Singletary. You know, TJ Yeldon is there, but like, that's a few carries here and there.
Yeah.
It's tough to figure out what to do here. I like how Darrell Williams looked last week for the Chiefs. He played well in Week 17 without Mahomes too. He had 94 total yards and 17 touches. They only had 19 touches in the backfield. He had 17 of 19. The Bills do allow 4.5 yards per carry, so they're not a great rush D either. They allowed some big plays too. They're like 25th in the NFL in percentage of carries going over 10 yards. So there's a lot of like big play potential kind of stuff against the Bills rush D, but You know, J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards were at 20 for 82 last week. Dobbins did have a good game catching the ball. Jonathan Taylor was 21 for 78. Naheem Hines had a really good game against the Bills. What was that? The wild card week. Williams is at 4,800. Hilaire is 5,000. If I'm playing a Chiefs running back, for me, it's Darrell Williams off the recent usage with the thought that they're going to ease CEH back in a little bit. But obviously, if he looks good and looks healthy, he probably, you know, probably leans that way. But I just like how Darrell Williams has looked the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, I think Williams is definitely the one that people are going to go to. Even if Edwards-Helaire is healthy, or at least cleared to play, no one knows how healthy he's going to be. But like 4,800 is like a reasonable risk for Williams. I mean, not
and that you know a piece of the best offense, the highest implied total, all that kind of stuff. So you got all that, and obviously it's not a big difference this week as it is normal weeks. We have a big slate. There's a lot of teams you can kind of throw out, but. I don't know. I just liked how, I mean, it's kind of a weird eye test kind of thing, but he looks like he's run the ball hard. Looks like Mahomes trusts him. Looks like that it all comes down to how the Bills play defense. If they do anything like they did last time, like he's the greatest play ever because they ran the ball 46 times last time. I don't think it's going to be that way. Kansas City has shifted, had their offense a little bit towards more passing the second half of the season. But I don't know. As I did this and built lineups, like Fournette, Darrell Williams is kind of where I found myself falling on a lot of lineups.
I just don't know how you click on Devin Singletary's name and like, this is someone I want in my lineup. Like we said it last week that he was going to get all the carries, but like there was just no evidence that he was going to be used significantly. Like the idea of like 15 and 20 carries was nuts. And then with one...
I give you credit. You talked me off him last week. I was like, oh, the price and he's going to be the starter. As I looked deeper and you talked about it, I was just like, yeah, it's just very little there. But he has to like, score a receiving touchdown probably to work.
Yeah, there was just so little evidence that they want to use him in any meaningful way. And like in this matchup, not that it's like a bad one or, you know, it's a fine matchup, but like it's a contrarian play, I think, for sure, because if you're expecting them to do something they haven't done all season, then go nuts. But like, the backup carry, like let's say Williams is just pure backup, I still want that over Singletary.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City gives up a lot of total yards to backfields, 141.8 on the year, but like, they just don't use him that way. No. And, you know, he gets a bunch of dump off if they're trailing and stuff, but I think if they do, like, they just have so many weapons, you know, so many receivers, they have four receivers they really like. I mean,
yeah.
With Davis, Beasley, Brown, and Stephon Diggs, like, They have enough guys there, and you know, Beasley kind of runs those patterns that a running back would run anyway. Like if you need a short 6 yards, you're like, oh, we'll just hit Cole Beasley. You're not gonna like dump off a screen pass Singletary in this offense. But yeah, I think Bill's running backs comes in fourth for me this week, and it's weird because he's the guy that has the bulk of the carries, where the other two teams, Tampa and the Chiefs, we talked about, definitely could split carries, got multiple guys there, but I don't know, it's just hard to get excited about Singletary's ceiling at all.
Yeah, like. Nobody's going to be surprised if he finishes with fewer fantasy points than both Joneses, Edwards-Helaire, Williams, Fournette. Like that, I just don't. I think the only way you include Singletary in your player pool is if you're just adamant about playing three running backs.
Yeah,
and if you are,
or you like the matchup and you just want to be a little bit different, and I can see that too. But I get the price. I like Williams
just
more.
Play
I
Josh
like
Allen.
Fournette more. Yeah. I like Ronald Jones more. I found it hard to get to Singletary myself too. Anybody in like the dirt cheap running backs? I mean, I think everybody's so cheap anyway. There's no reason to really jump down here. But you got Jamal Williams at 4,400. You know, T.J. Yeldon at 4,000. I just thought the other guys were so cheap that I had no point to go down here for these guys.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. Like if Ronald Jones is 4,600, why am I paying 4,000 for T.J. Yeldon?
Exactly. let's do a bit of quarterbacks though. Quarterbacks are really fun. We have the two. The two Hall of Fame veterans on the NFC side. We have the two young guys on the AFC side. Obviously, Mahomes is Hall of Fame already, but like on that path pretty easily. Josh Allen, obviously a pretty big breakout year this year, and you know a really fun year for him. Mahomes is 7,600 and down to Brady's the lowest at 6,100. You mentioned earlier Rodgers' price kind of makes him really enticing at 6,500. I think it depends with the two games. It kind of depends what you stack here. Like I think that you have to decide what you want, which quarterback and receiver, and then the receiver coming back you want to stack. That's probably how I build it. But do you have a strong preference of quarterback this week?
To be honest, the only ones I considered were Rodgers and Josh Allen. Like I actually, with the way that the Bills are playing, I don't think you're going to get enough out of Patrick Mahomes, which sounds like such a stupid thing to say. But
yeah, you won't regret that one in the middle of the second quarter.
I think you're better off taking like Mahomes' receivers instead of Mahomes himself. And I think because of the salary savings for like he's comfortably ahead of everybody else. And I think, I think Rodgers is actually underpriced. And Allen, I think, is maybe ever so slightly underpriced if we're using Mahomes as the baseline. And I can use that 700 to 1200 or 1100 elsewhere.
Yeah, you can actually use it this week too. Like it's one of those things that you can find ways to get better. Would you not, you don't consider Brady at all?
I didn't want to play Brady, but the best reason to play Brady is so you don't have to decide which of his receivers to take.
And the key is that with Brady, that's a good point, but also he does have all those weapons. Like he's got, and they're using Cameron Brate a lot. Like he's got five guys that he likes to throw to. And if Antonio Brown doesn't play, he's questionable, didn't practice Wednesday and Thursday. And it seems minor, but that's a quick turnaround for a knee injury. He's got Tyler Johnson. He's got Scotty Miller. Like, I don't think that there's a huge drop off if they miss somebody. They still have guys there that they like. And Tyler Johnson made a great catch last week in a key part of the game, too. Like, it was a throw that was behind him. He kind of dove and caught his really impressive play. And then Miller had a deep ball, too, that mattered before the game got out of hand.
Are you saying there's not a drop off between Antonio Brown and Scotty Miller?
I don't think there's a huge drop off anymore, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm not a huge Antonio Brown guy right now. I think that I think Brady likes Scotty Miller. He's a better player. He's more talented. But I'm just saying they have depth. Like,
yes.
I don't think if Brown doesn't play, like suddenly it's like, oh my God, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
They still have Evans, still have Godwin. Yeah, all right. There's a talent drop off. I get what you're saying. But I don't think
it's funny to hear. That's all.
I know. I don't think it's a huge offensive drop off.
Okay.
It's a weird week because I can make a point for all four of these quarterbacks. I think the one that I went to just price wise was Rodgers. Tampa got pressure on 44% of his dropbacks in that first game. He was 16 for 35 for 160. So, like, what they do blocking is just a huge factor in this game. Like, if Tampa was good against the pass late, they were 6.2 YPA the final six games of the season. They crushed Drew Brees last week, although, you know, I think, you know, a lot of that was Brees just did not look good.
Being old.
But passing has been the way to get to the Tampa defense this year. Obviously, you know, a lot of that is the fact that nobody wants to run against them.
Right.
They kind of give up early. But, we talked about with the Rams last week. Like the Rams were firing on all cylinders. Their pass D was awesome, and Rodgers came out and just picked him apart.
Yeah.
Like he could have kept dealing in the second half if he needed to. He was 23 of 36 for 296 and two touchdowns last week, and that was with that elite secondary. And Davante Adams was not running free like he normally is. So just Alan Lazard instead. But I think Rodgers is my favorite as I looked at it. And I think you're right with the percentages. I still wonder with the Aaron Jones thing how that'll work out. But it's hard to argue against any four of these guys. Like they all could put up 350 yards and four touchdowns, and you wouldn't be shocked.
My favorite thing about Rodgers last week was that he scored a rushing touchdown and also finished with -3 rushing yards.
That is beautiful. Hey, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it in style.
But like that's the thing with him. Like they get near the goal line, and like he's either – selfishly keeping it or he's going to selfishly throw it to Davante Adams or Robert Tonyan. Like that's why I like never want to play Aaron Jones, because they get close and Rodgers just selfishly keeps it.
They did last week. They had the 1 yard touchdown to Adams, and like it was a good play. Like you saw Jalen Ramsey get mad because the other guy didn't shift over, but like just run the ball. I guess Aaron Donald's there. I get it, but like they do it every single time. Jones did score later, but do you think Aaron Rodgers is likable? Like, he's a tough guy for me to figure out.
No, I don't. I saw he's hosting Jeopardy, though, which seemed weird to me.
He was really good at Celebrity Jeopardy when they did it. He's a smart guy. And then he, like, donated $500,000 to the Barstool, like, saving small business thing. You're like, oh, and then he does the video where he calls this restaurant in Chino and they give him a bunch of money. And he seems really cool. And then you're like, and you read things where he's not. He's a weird guy to figure out.
I have long thought he's, like, created his niceness. Like, I don't think he's naturally nice.
We drafted Alex Smith over him, though.
Yeah. Good story on 60 Minutes about Alex Smith this week, for those of you
Alex Smith is a great dude, and the comeback's been awesome, but, like, you just – it's hard not to think of if you go Rodgers over Smith, and local kid, went to Cal, grew up in Chino. Like, you just had – I don't know.
A lot of teams passed on Aaron Rodgers. Don't worry.
A lot of teams passed on Aaron Rodgers, but we took a different quarterback, and it's still
– true.
It's tough. We didn't talk a lot about Josh Allen. Obviously, a great year. He's 6,900. He was pretty good last week, but not great. Like, the rushing was not there against Baltimore's tough defense. Only had one touchdown. He was 23 of 37 for 206. So I guess I'd go with not really that great.
Not great.
But it was his first game with only one touchdown since week 8.
Yeah.
So, like, it's clearly been rolling, and it just wasn't last week. Baltimore's a really tough defense. He was horrible the first game in Kansas City. There's no other way to put it. He was 14 of 27 for 122. Like, a horrible YPA right there. You can do the math, and it's not good. Did have two touchdowns. He struggles with pressure. Like, the one thing that he didn't do great this year was his stats, you know, when you look at where he ranks. Not obviously, everybody's stats go down with pressure, but where he ranks goes way down. KC pressured him 55% of the dropbacks the first game. Like, they really got to him.
I'm going to, like, I look at the Rodgers game against Tampa, I'm throwing that out. I'm going to throw out that other game, too. Just so long ago, this team is just seems to be totally different.
They're a different team. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, it's interesting to know that they figured out schemes and ways to get to him in the first game. And I imagine if they blitz and don't get there, though, like, Allen will smoke them. Like, if he doesn't get pressured, that it's dangerous. So, but I imagine they're going to bring a lot of pressure. I think we'll know by the, like, three drives in whether it's going to be getting there or not. I think we're going to know pretty quick if it's going to be high scoring or Kansas City's going to figure it out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, just the rushing possibilities with him are different than everyone else on the slate. And so that kind of what makes him a little more attractive for me.
And it's a good point because Mahomes has some of that. But lost in the concussion stuff with Mahomes, his foot was really bugging him last week. And it's been weird. Like, everybody's so focused on the head injury that we don't know a lot about that foot. But, like, it was affecting him running and passing by the time he got hurt last week. And that's an interesting fact that, like, the scramble plays definitely aren't going to be drawn up for him, but they might not be there. It might be like, you know, he's going to get out of the pocket for 6 yards rather than 18 yards and a touchdown. So it's going to be a fun game. I love watching both those guys play. I love watching Mahomes play. Like, we're talking about, he's a little overpriced maybe compared to the other guys, but man, he's fun to watch.
Sure. For sure. He's got, like, great weapons. So,
by the way, it feels about 26 years ago that they played the Niners in the Super Bowl. There's no way that we were talking about the Niners-Packers championship game just a year ago. Like, wow.
Yeah.
It seems so long ago they played that Super Bowl. So long ago. It's wild. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm just blocking it out, though.
No, it feels 26 years sounds about right to me.
Let's jump into the pass receivers, which is a really fun, like, the most fun position this week on the slate. But first, a note from our sponsor, BetMGM. Sports bettors know that magic happens when you turn a hunch into action and apply the right amount of expertise. That's why BetMGM has teamed up with RotoWire to offer new BetMGM customers a free 6-month RotoWire subscription when they place their first bet. Register on the BetMGM app or website and use promo code ROTO, that's R-O-T-O, to claim your first subscription. Once you make your first sports wager, you receive a season's length of RotoWire's unmatched sports insights. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks by signing up and placing your first bet today. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, and Jersey. Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. If you or someone else you know has a gambling problem and wants help in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. I think Virginia got added to that state yesterday, by the
sure
way.
Sure did.
Open sports gambling. I read a story that California is 3 years away at best now, which made me feel awesome about that. Mm.
I think Michigan starts today. Did you say that?
I said Virginia.
Virginia, yeah. I believe Michigan starts today.
Nice.
Yeah, Connecticut, still hoping this year.
Beautiful. Might have to you must have some sort of luxurious basement I can come live in, right?
Please.
Your wife wouldn't mind.
Anytime. Just to get sports bets down.
You guys don't have a full house or anything busy going on there. You're fine. I can fill in on some Zoom calls. We'll be good. We're fine.
Perfect.
I'll do some LOL and soccer podcast to earn my keep.
There it is. Earn your keep.
Yeah, impressive how many sports you do, by the way. Please. If anybody doesn't watch stuff, Andrew is all over this sports and esports world. It's impressive.
Got to branch out. You got to keep yourself busy.
There you go. Wide receivers are absolutely so fun this week. We got Devontae Adams. We have Stephon Diggs. We have Tyreek Hill. Three of the elite wide receivers in the NFL. Three studs. Adams is 8,000. Diggs is 7,000. Tyreek Hill 7,200. We're talking DraftKings prices there. FanDuel, interesting. Like, I just want to jump back a little bit. FanDuel, DraftKings priced everybody down this week a little bit with only two games. They can kind of get what you want if you mix and match. FanDuel priced everybody like a regular slate. The stud guys are priced really high. It's a lot harder to get more studs alive in FanDuel. They're Like Adams is 8,900 there. Diggs is 8,300. Tyreek Hill is 8,400. The quarterbacks are especially really high at FanDuel too. I guess my question is, are you going to try and play two of these wide receivers, just one of them? How are you thinking about building a lineup this week?
I think you absolutely play two of them.
Okay.
And depending on what you do with Travis Kelce, you could play three of them.
I think I mentioned earlier, I tried to build lineups with three, and it wasn't that difficult. Like, you have to give up something a little bit, but like, you're playing these three receivers, you're still playing Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. It's not like you're, you know, playing Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback. Like, you're playing an elite guy at quarterback still. Do you have a preference between the three? I mean, I think that all three are studs. All three are so involved. If I had to pick one, I'd probably just go Devontae Adams, just like off the tough game last week, matchup wise. Like, he was 9 for 66 on and a touchdown on 10 targets. It's crazy that that's a bad game for Devontae Adams. But, you know, the Bucs are 21st in points in the NFL to wide receiver ones, 31st in the league to catches to wide receiver ones. Wow. So like, this has been the way to beat them. I like Marquez Valdes-Scantling a lot this week too, but I think Adams, if I had to pick one of these three, it'd be Adams.
Yeah, I have them Adams, Diggs, Hill. And the only reason Hill is third is because of Kelce. Like, yeah. I think Kelsey's actually third and maybe second. But I have Adams first.
Kelce run of games is insane.
It's just, it's simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, I think all three guys are, I mean, Diggs is just, I mean, he tied a record last week with 6+ catches in 15 straight games now. Like, see, that's not targets, that's catches. Like, yeah. It's just nuts. 90+ yards in 9 of 11, which just doesn't happen for wide receivers. Like, you get guys that have streaks, but then they throw up a 43-yard game or something like that. It just, he has 100+ yards in 5 of 6. He scored against them in week 6. He was 6 for 46, didn't do a ton. But like we said many times, his offense is different than it was then. And, you know, Hill had another 10 targets last week, 110 yards. Like, he didn't score, but was still really good. Didn't do a lot the first game, and that it's an interesting stat because, you know, really who cares about 3 months ago, but the way the Bills played this defense was like to not let Tyreek Hill beat them deep. And we mentioned earlier, they're going to have to adjust that a little bit because they gave up so many rushing yards, but he had 3 targets in week 6, and they clearly took the Chiefs only attempted 2 passes over 20 yards because they didn't have to, but just interesting. I think we'll know early, like, where the safeties are playing, what they're going to do. But his targets have been much different the second half too. They've like gone from like he's moved away from boomer bust guy to like heavy target guy, which is huge. Marquise Brownhead was 4 for 87 against the Bills last week. Michael Pittman at 9 yards a week before. So they've been giving up some decent receiver games, but you can make a case for all three guys. They're all studs.
I mean, because they're all studs. Like, is anybody playing Godwin and Evans?
I think you're going to have to, because you're going to need that third and fourth receivers in somewhere in the range. If I had to do it, I'd go Godwin, but I'd like Antonio Brown not to play to do that. Like, if Brown doesn't play, I think that opens up some targets for Godwin and Evans. Evans is weird. Like, he has huge games, and last week he had one catch. Like, it was a touchdown, but like, and they use him so much in the red zone that that's always a chance. But yeah, he had a lot of Jair Alexander last week. I do get
this week.
We'll see a lot of Jair Alexander this week. Yeah, he saw Marshawn Lattimore last week as well. Yeah. And he always struggles against Lattimore. The Packers are your top 5 in the NFL in a good way in points and catches to wide receiver ones. Like, this is what they do well. I like Godwin because he's going to be in the slot. Chandon Sullivan is a pretty good slot corner for the Packers. But, you know, targets last 4 games, 9, 7, 12, and 7. Godwin's really involved. He'd be my receiver of the two for sure.
I agree with you. But I still don't think, like, if you go Adams and Diggs or Hill and Diggs, you know, two of those three.
You're going cheap with your third guy?
You almost have to.
Yeah.
So then it's like, which team do you want the cheap guy from? Like, do you actually play Scotty Miller? Because that obviously Brown doesn't play. Or do you go Mecole Hardman? Do you go MVS? Do you go Lazard? Like, I think that's actually a much more interesting conversation. And I think there's definitely a possibility that they're all awful and it doesn't matter.
And I think it's more likely that one of these guys pops and that's who wins tournaments for people.
That I think is correct.
Yeah, I think you've got John Brown, you have Beasley, you have MVS, Lazard, Hardman. Like, there's a whole slew of guys down here. Picking the right one is really difficult because it probably is like who hits that big play, or if Cole Beasley has 8 catches or something like that. Like, something is going to have to happen. But yeah, I mean, a couple of these guys are going to do well. One of them is going to have a big game with a long touchdown or something like that. And you're going to see lineups differentiate by who has the cheap receiver that pops.
Right. And so are you more likely to take a guy on a team where you have somebody else on that team, or the opposite? Like, if you don't play Hill, because you're playing Adams and Diggs, do you play Hardman?
Or 1,000%.
What's that?
1,000%.
Okay. But so
because if you're playing a tournament, you're gonna the Chiefs are gonna score, and if you don't play Hill, you're hoping that Hardman catches two touchdowns.
Right. So if you play Adams, are you out on MVS or Lazard?
I'm not out. I think that you're probably gonna have some. There's only two games. Like you're gonna have some lineups, or you're gonna have to play some games. I really like MVS this week. I think that Lazard's big game last week kind of helps him a little bit. He was only 4 for 33, but he still had 8 targets last week. That's a really good sign. I get they didn't go to Adams quite as much as they used to, as they usually do, but Lazard had the big game, so maybe he gets some ownership percentage there. The key for me with MVS is Tampa really struggles against deep balls. They were 28th in the NFL on completion percentage over 15 yards. That's where MVS shines. We don't know if he'll catch it, but I think there's a chance that he'll get open. I think they're going to hit him with a couple of deep shots. I mean, that's the way that the Tampa Bay's struggled this year when they have. I really like the setup for MVS. I like the fact that Lazard had the big game last week. I just like the way this matchup sets up for him. He's probably my favorite guy down here. Obviously, it depends on who you have, and I like Adams a lot too. But 3,900, I think the MVS is my favorite guy in this range.
Okay, I think that's all very reasonable. I'm certainly more interested in him than DeMarcus Robinson. No offense.
None taken.
And
DeMarcus Robinson, the one guy that can be in this offense and still be annoying and not be good. It's hard to do.
Yeah. I don't think the Tampa, the next Tampa guys are bad, whether it's Miller or Johnson. But, obviously those are somewhat bigger leaps of faith than...
And Brown has to not play for that.
Of course, yeah. I don't know. Hardman, I feel like we've seen enough exciting plays out of Hardman where I'm like, oh, I just need one. So let me just try.
And he played 47 snaps last week. Granted, Sammy Watkins partially practiced on Wednesday and Thursday, but... Hardman's been pretty involved in the offense the last few weeks. He only had 4 targets, but had 58 yards last week. And, he kind of flashes. You're right. I think any big play, if they play a defense where they're really focusing on Hill and Kelsey, you got to think that Andy Reid's so smart. I think they're going to draw a couple plays up for Hardman to get him explosive. He could also score on a kick return, which is kind of nice too. But it's just 4,000 piece of this offense is always intriguing.
Right. I think that's a nice way to put it for sure.
What about the secondary Bills guys? Do you have a John Brown, Cole Beasley preference between the two?
It's always Brown.
It is for me too. There's a lot of guys that I like, you don't, or the other way around. It seems like we always both like John Brown.
Yes.
Nice bounce back last week.
Right, when I didn't play him. We seem to be having that Tom Brady and then the next big game and now John Brown and then the next one, he has a good one. But yeah, I like Brown a lot.
I did not abandon our boy last week. I played.
You're much smarter than me.
he had 11 targets. He was 8 for 62, but played 46 snaps. Beasley was weird. He had 7 targets in the wild card game and looked fully healthy. And then he had no catches last week on 2 targets. It was probably just the way that the Ravens defense played it, but they very clearly wanted to get the ball in Brown's hands last week.
Yeah. I just don't feel like either of them are going to be that bad, that popular that I'm going to be I'm dead today because I didn't have Cole Beasley. But I also don't feel like I'm going to say, I crushed today because I had Cole Beasley. But I do feel like it'd be the reason I did well today is because John Brown had 120 and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, because they're going to run a couple deep balls in the corner of the end zone to Brown that it's a matter if that Allen hits them or not.
Right.
And, Kansas City is really good against wide receivers. They were top 5 in yards per target to wide receivers. They are a good defense against wide receivers. But, I think I lean Brown also. Is there anybody else down here that you like? And we talked about Gabriel Davis. They were joking around. You played him last week, and he played 26 snaps. I think he's clearly he might hit a couple big plays, and they like him that way. He had 85 yards in the wild card game, but he seems like the fourth option to me here with Beasley healthy. And then the Tampa guys down here, if Brown doesn't play, Johnson's 3,000, Scotty Miller's 3,400. They certainly become interesting if Brown does not play.
Yeah, I think I still end up going with Brown and Hardman before I start going to the fourth Tampa Bay receiver.
I do too. I just don't think that we need them down here. And the key is that as we get to tight ends, the Bucs are using 2 tight ends in a lot of a lot of targets. Both Brait and Gronkowski are both involved. Gronkowski seems to be blocking a little bit more than Brait does, and Brait goes out in the passes. But you're right, Dick Johnson and Miller, you're going to need a big play because I don't think you're going to get 8 targets for those guys.
Exactly.
Tight end is interesting. We got Travis Kelce, who is out of this world right now at 8,000 on DraftKings, 8,600 on FanDuel. 80 plus yards in 8 of 9, 7 plus catches in 9 straight games. 7 plus catches. We talked about the dig streak. like for a tight end, that's just a crazy streak. He was 8 for 109 last week with a touchdown, 11 more targets. I think you have to decide before you build your lineup if you're playing Kelce or not, because it impacts everything else you do.
I think if he was a wide receiver, we'd play him, though.
I cannot argue that in any way. I think he's well priced on both sides.
Yeah. But like, not that I think, like, I'm not dying to play any of the other tight ends to the point where I'm like, I don't want to play Kelce because I really wanted to play Cameron Brate.
Like, that's a big, like, you joke though, but that's a big part of the reason why you're like, I maybe want to make my lineup play Kelce. So you don't have to play one of these guys, because there's a lot of interesting receivers you can play. And if you're going to give me, MVS or Gronkowski, I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna take MVS. There's so much more upside there. Like, I think the cheap receivers are so much better than the cheap tight ends.
The 2v2 is very simple, that it's one of the upper tier wide receivers, and Gronkowski, or I guess it's any of them, Tanya, Gronkowski, Brate. Yeah. I can't imagine anybody's playing Dawson Knox, but at 2,800, it's a nice salary savings. But like, so do you do that, or do you play Kelce and Hardman, or Kelce and John Brown, or
any of the guys we mentioned in that range? Yeah. It's just I think everybody's going to have to do that 2v2 before they enter. It's going to be just kind of the way it builds this week.
Right. And you're going to look at it and be like, why am I? Well, see, that's the thing. It's really like, I'm staring at a lineup right now that has Adams, Diggs, and Kelce. And it's like, the reason I would be paying down at tight end is so I can play Adams, Diggs, and Hill. Like, yep, those are the three, because that's what I'm doing with the money. I'm not doing it to pay up for Dalvin Cook because he's not on the slate. You know, like,
wish he was. I wish he was.
I think Kelce is going to be just absurdly popular, but like, he should be, and I'm not fading him.
If you build some GPP, you might build some different lineups. Who of the cheap guys would you prefer? It's an impossible question. It probably depends who gets the touchdown. I do get that, but like, you get some lineups where you probably differentiate a little bit. Or if you had to pick one down here, who'd it be?
It's either Tanyan or Brate. Like, Gronk and Dawson Knox just do nothing for me.
I am exactly in the same place. Yeah. Tanya had a good game last week. He was 4 for 60, but only 4 targets, but he catches like every single one of his targets. Yeah. His catch percentage is insane. And granted, it helps when Aaron Rodgers puts the ball under numbers every time, but he catches the ball. Tampa Bay's been below average against tight ends, so I could see that one. Brate's been good the last 2 weeks. He has 4 for 50 last week, 4 for 80 in the wild card game. If you look at this, it's clear to me that like, Gronk is the blocking kind of big play tight end guy, and then Brate's the like, if we need 12 yards kind of guy. Like, he seems like he's more involved in the passing game. But Gronk had 5 targets last week. He's only 1 for 14, but a couple of those were downfield. So they took a couple shots to him, but you have to hit those shots for it to work.
Yeah, the thing that separates the two of them for me is that Tanyan has as many touchdowns in the last 4 games as Brate has had all season, including the playoffs.
Fair.
And with how Aaron Rodgers likes to throw near the goal line, Tanyan's one of those options. Like, yep. Adams doesn't get 100% of those opportunities. So if I'm going to try to get a tight end who is not going to probably put up Kelce numbers, I'd at least like the guy who's more likely to score a touchdown.
Gronk has 5 catches the last 4 games.
Not like, each, too. Right. Like,
that's bad. Like, he's just not very involved. He was a little more last week at the 5 targets, but it's crazy to me that Brate has 8 catches the last 2 games and Gronk has 5 the last 4 games.
It's just, yeah. It's like early season touchdowns that make him more expensive.
Yeah. For me, it's Tanya or Brate. Dawson Knox is 23 yards combined in the 2 playoff games. So, like, he could score a touchdown at work because the other guys don't, but like, he's clearly 5th on my list of the tight ends.
Right. No, I agree.
Yeah. Lastly, we get to defense. Some defense is going to make a play to make this work. I don't see anything really to break down too much on defense, except the fact that I don't think I'm going to play the Bills. Like, they're the one that I kind of crossed off. I just don't like going against the Chiefs defense, but they could work too. The Bills have some exciting players. They obviously had a 102-yard interception return last week to totally change that game. But, I don't think Mahomes makes that same mistake. I have no desire to go against the Chiefs' offense if I'm playing a defense.
I think DraftKings should start giving us points for interception return yards.
Oh, I like that.
That seems more fun. Like, why would a one-yard...
That play was so weird, though. Like,
it was.
He caught it, and I was like, oh, that's a huge play. He's going to get... Well, he's probably staying in the end zone. And then I was like, oh, he might get to the 30 or 40. And I was like, oh, there's nobody around him. There was a great block on Mark Andrews, like right when he caught it, the guy kind of chipped Andrews a little bit and like opened up the whole play. It was like, if the guy hadn't hit Andrews, he might have tackled him right away. And all of a sudden it was 102. It was weird that the hustle on the Bills' whole defense, like to block guys and stuff. Hollywood Brown didn't want to get blocked, by the way. If you see the reverse angle, he was sprinting, and then he's like, yeah, I'm not getting blocked.
Yeah, that should be worth more than like a 5-yard interception return for a touchdown. Yeah,
it's a complete game changer. Yeah. Like that won that game last week. Mm-hmm. Like, that was going to be, I forget what the score was. It was like 13-13 or 10-10 at that point, and all of a sudden it was a 14-point lead. It was,
yeah, it's over.
Totally changed the whole game, yeah.
I have the Bucks because they're the cheapest.
And I think everybody's going to go here and click on the Bucks because, you know, they forced Breeze into 4 turnovers last week. And more than anything, they're $900 less than the Packers. They're $400 less than the Chiefs. It's just you're going to want to use that salary for other stuff. And when you could, I mean, if you're playing the Packers, you're still playing against Tom Brady and the Bucks. Like, you're playing against a really good offense. It's not like you're taking the Packers because they're facing like the Rams last week where, you know, they weren't going to score a lot of points. It's hard to get to $1,000 more when you're playing against someone good again.
I think they obviously would have never done it, but I think they could have just priced them all at 3,200.
I think that would have been better, actually. I like that you just kind of pick who you want, but right. It's gonna make it harder to click on the Packers because you're gonna want the money.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the Bucks will actually be the most popular, just because why not?
I think that might make me play a little bit of Chiefs for $400 more. Sure. I just think that they only had one sack last week, forced returns, but I think that if we're gonna talk quarterbacks in here. We're talking championship game quarterbacks. If someone could get a little bit rattled and make some mistakes, it's probably Josh Allen. I love Josh Allen, but like,
yeah,
if
that's
you're
a fair point.
If you had to argue one of these quarterbacks doing something stupid or making a play, trying to force something,
yeah,
it would be Allen of the four. And that's not an insult on Allen. You're talking about 3 Hall of Fame quarterbacks that he's compared to. So
I think that's a good observation for sure.
Yeah, so I think I might play some Chiefs to be a little different on defense, and I think you might get a big play out of that.
Could get it anywhere.
Yeah, you absolutely could. Mecole Hardman could return a kick, and all of a sudden that right. Chiefs also. So you've got that. You got that also. And
I do like that idea of double dipping.
Yeah, I do too. And crazy last week, the Saints had that punt return that was called back. The Saints, that game could have been totally different.
Totally different.
I had Saints defense in a bunch of spots. I'm like, oh, they'll get to Brady. He'll make some mistakes. Yeah, not so much. But the punt return getting called back, you're like, that was it, right? Hurts. There. Really fun weekend. I'm looking forward to games on Sunday. This is the, you know, last year I was obviously very excited about championship week because the 49ers were playing. But the game against the Packers was over like 4 minutes in. Like, yeah. It was pretty clear that they were going to run for 500 yards of offense. But fun games, like high scoring, close games. It should be a lot of fun.
For sure. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Beautiful. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks everybody for listening today and all season long. We will be off next week. Is that correct, Andrew?
Yep.
We're back for the Super Bowl. We'll do a showdown slate for the Super Bowl. It should be a lot of fun. We'll talk probably talk some props also, stuff like that. I like to bet a lot of props for the Super Bowl. So with only one game, we'll make some of that in there. But look forward to that also. Hope everybody really enjoys the games this weekend. If you want to follow Andrew on Twitter, he's at RotoWireAndrew. I am at Scott Jensen. If you want to ask any questions as the some news comes out, Antonio Brown, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that sort of thing. If you want to ask any questions, we'll be there. Other than that, hope everybody enjoys the game. Has a great weekend. Take care.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.